We're thankful for all the workers that are here. And we're trusting and praying that God will meet you. And as you serve us today, we know that God will bless you. My son asked me what I was going to say this morning. So, and he approved of it. So, praise God. So let's take our Bibles. If you turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 2. This is a story in the Bible that I'm sure we are familiar with. It's a Sunday school story. And so maybe all of you have heard the story of Elijah and Elisha. But I think there are many applications for us. And God gives us His Word so that He can speak to us. In both the Old and New Testament, there is something for the Christian. What a treasure God's Word is. I'm going to read this morning from the NIV, if that's all right. I remember I think it was Brother Bob Collis. Now his son is here, so I have to be careful. But I think he said he was reading from the Living Bible, and everyone was like, no. But then he said, the Living Bible, King James Version. So we're reading from the Living Bible this morning. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, Elisha replied, but do not speak of it. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, Elisha, the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, he replied, but do not speak of it. Then Elijah said to him, stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elisha replied. You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise not. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. He picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha. We'll stop there. I think the thought I'd just like to leave with us this morning from this passage is this thought of following hard or close after God. I'm sure there is significance to these different places that Elijah went on this trip that they took together. But at each place, Elijah said to Elisha, "No, you stay here." And what was Elisha's response? "No, I'm not going to leave you." It seems that it was known that Elijah was going to be taken, right? You see that the prophets, the sons of the prophets, they all kind of knew that, and they were trying to fill like Elisha in, like he didn't know it. But he knew it too. I think they all knew it, that something was going to happen today. And there was this desire in Elisha to follow on with Elijah, to talk with him, to walk with him. Now, we're not given in the Bible what they talked about, or if they talked, but I can imagine that they talked a lot. And Elijah maybe was giving Elisha some final instructions, final words, to encourage him. Now, you have to go back into the first book of Kings to get the whole story. You remember that Elijah was discouraged because Jezebel had said, "I'm going to kill you." Remember that? And so what did he do? He ran. And he got to the Mount of God and he told God, "God, I'm the only one left who serves you. Look at me. No one else but me." And God came and spoke to him and gave him a commission. And part of that was that he was going to go, or he should go, and anoint Elisha to be the prophet in his stead. And at that time, we read that Elijah found Elisha, and what did he do? He took his mantle, his cloak, and he threw it at him, or threw it over him. They had some strange customs, I guess, then. He threw it over him, and that was to signify that there was some kind of call, that he was to follow Elijah. And he did that. And so they've worked together. He's been a servant to Elijah. And now they come to this place in time where Elijah is going to be taken away. And it seems that Elijah maybe is testing his faithfulness. I'm not sure. But I see in Elisha a desire for the blessing of God upon his life. It wasn't enough for him to have walked with him for those years, to have seen the miracles that Elijah did. Elisha knew that he needed something that he didn't have. You know, I was interested in this, the thought of the double spirit, a double portion. You know, was he being selfish? Was he saying, "I want to be better than you, Elijah?" No, that was not it at all. It seems that that comes from the inheritance that the firstborn received. But they always got a double portion, right? In that tradition, in that culture. And so I think Elisha was just saying, if I'm to follow in your steps, Elijah, I need to have what you have. I need that spirit that's upon you. And if I'm going to leave this school of prophets, if I'm going to take your place, as it were, then I need something from God that I don't have. And I'm not going to let you go, as it were, until you bless me. I see that same tenacity that Jacob had when he laid hold upon that, "God, you need to bless me. I can't face my brother Esau unless you are with me." And Elisha is saying the same thing. "I can't do this work that you've called me to do unless your spirit rests upon me, the spirit of God rests upon me." And how did Elijah respond when he asked Elisha the question and Elisha said, "I want the..." What did Elijah say? That's a hard thing. I think he was indicating that it wasn't something that he could necessarily do. It was something that only God could do. It was something that must come from heaven. And I just see in our own lives, in my own life, I need the Spirit of God. I need the touch of God upon my life. Have you realized that? If we are to fulfill in what God has called us to do, just to live for Him in this world, we need His Spirit. And that ought to be the cry of our hearts. Lord, a double portion of your Spirit. I want all that you have for me. You know, sometimes we're satisfied with I'm going to say, like a little blessing. You know, God comes to us and we feel good. Does that ever happen to you? It's okay to say that, yes. You can say yes. Because God made us, I think, to feel, don't you? And he made us capable to feel him. And sometimes, though, we're satisfied with that good feeling. Maybe here at camp. You know, God comes to us. He's come to us already. But it's more than just to give us a good feeling. God wants to fill us with himself. You know, we're going to look at you. The staff is looking at the creed. And we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we don't want to necessarily put one above the other. When we talk about God's Spirit coming to us, what are we saying? Well, that God is coming to us. When I say, fill me with the Holy Spirit, I'm saying, God, you come and fill me. Jesus, you come to me. God, you come and you live out your life in me. Fill me with yourself. I heard that in the prayers this morning. God, fill us with yourself. And I think that was Elisha's prayer. Not that I want to be great. I want people to see me as being the next. No, I want and I need the Spirit of God upon my life. And I trust there's a desire in our hearts to be filled with the Holy Spirit. As I was thinking of this story, I saw in it a picture, really, of what God wants to do today for his church. And just bear with me, I'm not sure that the parallel is 100% or exact, but I see in Elijah, as it were, the Lord Jesus. And I see in Elisha a picture of we, his disciples, the disciples of Jesus. And when Jesus left and went back to heaven, when he ascended to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to those disciples who were waiting. Who were waiting in the upper room. Before Jesus left, he had told them, tarry until you are endued with power from on high. Now some believe that 500 were at that commissioning. You know, when he gave the Great Commission, some think there were 500. But how many were in the upper room? 120. There were those who were seeking, who were hungry, who realized that they couldn't fulfill in the work that God had gave them to do. You know, Peter was one who said, Lord, I can do anything for you, right? I'll even die for you. And what happened to Peter? He failed. Three times he denied the Lord. But once the Holy Spirit came upon Peter, oh, he was a different man. The Spirit of God filled him, and he could get up and say, you crucified him. You crucified him, but God raised him from the dead, and the promise is unto you and to your children. If you just think a little bit with me about this story of Elijah. I talked about how when he ran from Jezebel, he went to Mount Horeb, and there God spoke to him. He gave him three things to do, actually. And you can find this in 1 Kings 19. It says there that he was supposed to go by way of the wilderness and anoint Hazael, king of Damascus. Second thing was he was supposed to anoint Jehu, king of Israel. And the third thing was to anoint Elisha, the prophet, in his stead. Now, how many of those things did Elijah actually do? All three? Think so? He only did one. He only anointed Elisha to be prophet in his stead. If you read on in 2 Kings here, in 2 Kings 8 and 9, you find out that it was Elisha who went to Hazael and told him, you were going to be king. And it was Elisha who sent the prophet to anoint Jehu. And what I see in that is that there's a commission that God gave to Elijah that was fulfilled through Elisha. And it's the same way with us. Jesus came to bring us salvation, to work redemption among mankind, but his mission was not complete necessarily without us. And he's fulfilling his work today in his people. And how is it being done? It's being done by men and women who are filled with the Spirit of God, who have consecrated themselves to follow on after God and to work in the power that he gives. That's how the Great Commission gets fulfilled. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. But without that, lo, I am with you always, where would we be? Jesus himself says, I will come and work with you. I will work in you. I will work through you. And his mission is completed through us. You know, I thought this time here at camp, in a sense, we are fulfilling the Great Commission, aren't we? We have a great ministry ahead of us for you counselors and those in the cottage. Precious souls that God sends here. And we can think of the children that already have passed through these grounds this year already. Lord Jesus, you are working in them. You are working your salvation in them. Thank you, Lord, that we can be a part in fulfilling your Great Commission. But it doesn't end here. God has a work for us to do when we leave this place. And you young ladies who now go, when you go back home, you're going to fulfill the Great Commission. Jesus working through you. Jesus working in you. Those things that are pleasing to him. And so this story of Elijah and Elisha is a story that ought to encourage us to seek the Lord, to follow after him with all our hearts. Yeah, there's a verse in Hebrews talking about faith. It says there, those that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I understand that the thought there is really that we seek him out. That we seek him out. Is Jesus worth seeking out? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He is a treasure beyond measure. He is so precious to me. And so, Lord, put within our hearts a great desire for yourself. Lord, help us to see our need as the prophet Elisha saw his need of your Spirit. Lord, you have promised to send the Comforter. And you fulfilled that promise. And Lord, we pray that in these days we would see it fulfilled in us. Lord, forgive us when we try to do your work in our own strength. Lord, help us to depend upon you in everything. Lord, we rely upon the working of your Spirit within to make our lives a blessing so that we can truly fulfill the commission, the mission that you left for us to do. Lord, don't let us forget why we're here. And so I pray, Lord, for a fresh outpouring of your Spirit. Oh, God, you are so gracious, and you have been working even this day to fill us with yourself. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be open to you, that we would truly seek you out. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So give us that perseverance that we see in your servant Elisha. Put that within us, Lord. Holy desire. That we could live and serve in the power that you give. The anointing that comes from above. And so we just commit ourselves to you for this time here at camp and for the days that lie ahead of us. Different places that we call home. Lord, surely there's a work for us to do. And so lead us, guide us, and empower us. This is our prayer. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.